independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Obamacare's years-long hurdle toward collapse is rapidly approaching its seemingly inevitable conclusion. Total meltdown.
Total annihilation. Mitch McConnell there, dazzling us with his speaking voice and his elegant words. Wait, no, it's not. But he's honest there. There's issues with Obamacare. We can't deny that. It's failing, and it's failing over and over again, and the collapse is near. So today, out they roll their brand new bill. So this is the fifth, care the 475, their 12 millionth new special bill to replace Obamacare. This one is, I don't know, we're going to figure it out.
This is our opportunity to really make a difference on health care. This is our chance to bring about changes we've been talking about since Obamacare was forced on the American people.
Now, speaking of changes, people are going, well, what's in this one that wasn't in the House bill and then the first Senate bill? Who's getting what? What's happening? There's a lot of different things that are going to be inside here, including things like these.
More money to combat the opioid crisis. There could be as much as $45 billion presented in the bill. Also, one of the big rubs for Rand Paul, more money to stabilize the Obamacare insurance market. That's expected to be in there. There aren't expected to be any changes to Medicaid from what senators have already proposed. And they also are not going to repeal this tax on wealthy Americans. That's something to keep the moderates at the table.
Lots of stuff. Ted Cruz got something in there as well. Chance for people to buy a slim down, bare bones minimum healthcare plan that essentially CYAs themselves. So if you get hurt, like hit by a bus or a drone lands on your head and stuff, it'll cover that. It's going to be a big deductible. But did it go far enough? Did it not go far enough? Who gets what? Why isn't it working? Why isn't Rand Paul ever happy?
The bill they put forward keeps the majority of the Obamacare taxes, keeps the vast majority of the Obamacare regulations, keeps the majority of the Obamacare subsidies, and creates a brand new insurance bailout fund.
Well, that's not good. I wouldn't be happy about that. But who is happy? You can't make everybody happy. I don't care how hard you try in life. You're not going to make everybody happy, right? You're not going to make everybody happy. Some people are going to win. Some people are going to lose. Some people are going to benefit. Other people are going to stay flat. And some people are going to be in a worse situation potentially. It's tough. It's not simple. It's not easy. You just don't walk out and say, hey, I got this thing and it's great. It's wonderful. Put it all together. Boom. They've had 7.5 years. And as it continues to spin and spin and spin, the hands of time, they roll these things out over and over again with these show votes for those 7.5 years. And now that it's time to fish or cut bait, they're struggling. And if this fails, which I think it will, I don't think there's going to be enough there for Mitch. He's going to go back to the drawing board. And don't be surprised if they say the repeal is off the table. Now it's a fix, which is what the Democrats want. And remember, this isn't the Democrats' fault. This is the Republicans' fault for not getting stuff done. Times change. People that were against government getting into healthcare 7.5 years ago are in a situation where they feel they're better off because of Obamacare. So they don't want to see the things that would affect them go away, even though they're still conservative. Plus, everybody's got to go back to their constituents. In every constituent, every area, people are different. You may have a constituent where the average age in your area is 58, 56, 60 years old. They're worried about the immediate future, and they're worried about the healthcare cost and the rising of it because they're in a situation where they're going to be the ones on the hook for it, even though they have conservative ideas. They want less government. They want lower taxes. They want all of those things. You know, maybe they're Christian conservatives or, you know, whatever it is. But they're worried about what you're presenting them. So the moderates are going, whoa, 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 whoa. But then you go somebody like Ted Cruz and you go back to your home, you know, state, and your average person may be 48 years old. They're worried about, yes, the future of tomorrow, but they're worried about the future. They've still got kids in school. They've got some kids off at college. They're building a business. Whatever it is that they're doing, they're more worried about the cost of doing business and paying for their premiums and things today. So you look around and you're thinking, okay, it's not a one-size-fits-all, which is what Obamacare is. It's a one-size-fits-all, right? They roll it on out there. They tell everybody, hey, you're 65 years old and you're going to have coverage for pregnancy. You're a 22-year-old woman. You're going to have coverage for prostate. And you're like, what? And those are the minimums that we have because we got to cover every single thing in the world. Expense goes up. It's bloated. People say, well, why can't we have like, a situation where we pay cash and we have a catastrophic? Well, that sounds great. And it is, except for you're going to have, instead of having large pools of people coming to the insurance, they're going to split them up and you're going to have two tiers of insurance in the sense that you're going to have a pool over here of young people who aren't going to offset the old, the sick, the affirm. It's going to be tough. Then you want to have bailout money guaranteed for the insurance companies. Because their trough, they want to make sure that thing is always full. You can't just, no. No, you need to feed me, baby birds. Right? We're covering people. You need to feed us. So it's not a one size fits all. And it's not just a situation where we could go, every constituent is the exact same. Meaning somebody is going back to their home state in Maine. And they probably have older constituents on average. If you were to combine it all, they may have somebody, their average, you know, voter may be 60 years old, 58 years old. They're worried about something much different than the average 48-year-old. It's not going to get done overnight, and I don't think they're going to get this square peg through this round hole. The more I looked at it today, the more I talked to people, the more frustration I heard, and the more of a realization that while this is a bloated, dying bird in Obamacare, and it's sinking fast, it's a lead balloon. It's the Hindenburg. It's just now caught fire. And somebody's going to say, oh, the humanity! That's going to happen sooner rather than later. Does Mitch McConnell, though, have the cojones to walk across the way and ask people of the Democratic persuasion, would you like to join in fixing this thing because my ding-dong friends can't get their act together? I don't know. But we're going to find that out, I think, sooner rather than later. Now, it wouldn't be a great day of fun if we didn't have Chuck Schumer doing what Chuck Schumer does, standing in front of a microphone, and producer Phil always says this is the most dangerous place in D.C., is between you, a microphone, and Chuck Schumer, because he's going to get there as fast as he possibly can, because that's what keeps him alive, I think. He feeds off the energy of the TV cameras, and that's what keeps him going.
Senate Republicans introduced their new version of Trump Care. The meat of this bill is exactly the same as it was before, and in some ways, they've somehow managed to make it even worse.
You know what's great about that is you can say stuff in politics, and nobody ever calls you on it. Somehow they make it worse. How do you know they've made it worse? The CBO score is not out. So how do you know it's worse? Somehow they managed to do it. Bernie Sanders on the floor today. It's me, Bernie. Let me tell you something. 300 kabillion people will die because of this. The Republicans hate everybody in the world. And because of this, everyone's going to die. I'm like, roof. You know, that's where they go. And they tell the story. It's going to be, I talked to a woman in Poughkeepsie, and she said, if it wasn't for Obamacare, the world wouldn't be spinning. It saved her life and everything. That's why we need to keep it. And you're like, okay, really? See, they pull out that stuff. They tell that story.
The bill still sends out-of-pocket costs for the average American soaring. It takes a sledgehammer to Medicaid.
Takes a sledgehammer. Literally takes a sledgehammer out of Medicaid. That's what it does. It just takes it and just beats the crap out of it. Come on. Again. But tells the story. paints the picture. There's no final numbers out. There's no final numbers out. But this is what we've got. 7.5 years of this crap is what we have. And the frustration level, I feel it. I talk to people all the time. I get text messages from people in D.C., and they'll say how frustrated everybody is behind closed doors. They all want this, that, and the other. They say we're all unified, but you can't be unified because nobody has the cojones to go out there and be and do the thing that they know they want to do, but they're fearful of doing. And to get stuff done, to be a great leader, you have to do – this is the great thing about being a great leader. You've got to do it. Don't care what the public thinks. You go and you do it. Sometimes in life, it's not about what the public wants or the people wants. It's what they need. And as we all know, growing up in life, a lot of times the things we needed, we didn't really want. But then we look back and we go, we needed that. And I don't think there's a man or woman in this group that has the political fortitude and the want to give people what they need, because it's so much easier in life to give people what they want. Text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Chat at Chad Benson Show is your email. Of course, Chad Benson Show at Facebook. Go there, like it. Call the program as well, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. We've got an update about little Charlie Gard, the young British boy who is struggling to survive, and his parents have been in and out of court trying to get him away from the National Health Service in England and bring him to America for an experimental program. We got an update on that straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson loves lemonade. No wonder his show is two parts tart to one part sweet. Time for a refill. Cheers.
Charlie suffers from a rare genetic disease. He can't breathe alone. He can't see, hear, or move. That's why doctors want to turn off his life support. His parents disagree. So Thursday, the wait is on for Thursday when his parents will have the chance to present their new evidence.
And they did today. Charlie Gard's parents, the young British boy who is fighting for his life, had a chance to present their evidence today to another judge. The judge said earlier this week, show up on Thursday, bring what you think you have that will try to persuade me and persuade the courts, and we'll go from there. Today they showed up. At one time, the parents stormed out in the middle of it. They came back after the lunch recess. And it was interesting. They're going to make a decision sooner rather than later on what to do with this young boy who has a disease that is very rare. In fact, so rare, I think over the last several years, there's only been about 100 cases of it worldwide. And the person that spoke today, and they did so in the British course with anonymity, so we don't know who it is, but is one of the doctors or the research teams who is presenting Charlie's family with the opportunity to come to America and try this experimental method. And they said, and I don't know if it's a he or she, that they feel that not only is there a good chance or a chance for this, that it's somewhere between 10 and about 50% chance of improving his life immensely. And that they found no structural damage inside of his brain. Now, it's still, even if it's 10%, that's a chance. It's a fighting chance. That's all you want to give your child in a situation like this, is a chance to fight. But the big picture here, and one that seems to be not really being talked about, is the fact that, what if this family fights and gets a victory? A victory over the government, a victory over National Health Services, the NHS, which is their medical services. And they have said that he has no quality of life, that he is never going to ever recover from this, that he is going to die. And what if Charlie's family is granted the opportunity to come over here that he takes this experimental treatment and that he improves enough that he becomes a functioning person? Will he, you know, look, are miracles out there? Can they happen? Yes. Can science and everything put together, could potentially he be something? Yes. But what if he's just a boy who has some issues, but he's healthy and he grows up and this helps him lead somewhat of a normal life or leave a life at all that is real? How is that going to affect NHS, and how is that going to look when they said this boy, essentially, it's over, it's done, and we've decided it's best that we cut the cord, if you will, and let him die? The pressure, the egg on the face, the embarrassment, the anger that people already feel about this case. Again, this does not cost the British government or the taxpayers a penny. Does not cost them a dime. But one thing to look at that is being overlooked is the fact that the British government and the National Health Services that are battling his family in court, what are they going to look like if again, this would not be the first time, a child has left their country against their orders and recovered or somewhat recovered? That doesn't look good. No, 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 no. It does not. Not at all. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat@ChadBensonShow.com. Text us, 323-538-2423. People are asking me, is the Kid Rock thing real? Yes, Kid Rock has said it. It looks like he's going to make a run for the Senate. No, we are not running together, though, because that was hilarious. But you never know. One day soon, we may both decide it's best that we do it, and our platform is going to be amazing. Tattoos, tatas, taxes. Lower taxes, by the way. Just put it out there. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Republicans in Congress have become enablers of the Trump-Russia assault on our democracy. After these latest revelations, it's becoming clear we have suffered a desecration of our democracy not seen since Watergate.
I'm sorry, I was translating for Nancy Pelosi there. Reminds me of the Crypt Keeper. Remember that?
It's me, the Crypt Keeper. The Crypt Keeper.
I love it. Oh, it's Russia's fault. They did it all. Trump wakes up every night and he stomps on everything. Constitution. Got our Declaration of Independence. Yeah, lit it on fire and smoked a cigar with it. What do you think of them apples? It's just insane. It really is. This is what we've become. This is what we've become. We've gotten to the point where it's sound bites and silliness. Sound bites and silliness. Today, our president flew to France, where he landed and got off an airplane, of course. And he met with Macron, shook the hands of the wife, told her, "You look like you work out. You have nice." "Yes, of course. Of course she works out." Millennia went off to Children's Hospital and wowed, right? They're like, "Oh, my God, I made a wish, and this is my wish. This beautiful girl is my wish." And it's so funny to watch the media just go crazy. It's like, does he shake hands correctly? What did he say to the wife of Macron? Did he say something? You know, said that she looks good, like she works out. That's offensive. Offensive to who? Who's offended? I wish somebody would say that to me. People say the opposite. "You look like you don't even know where a gym is." It's like, no. It's ridiculous. Why is it? Why is that a why is a compliment bad? I'm curious. Why is a compliment bad? You look like you work out. Oh my God, that's sexist. What? He probably wants to sleep with her. I'm like, slow your roll, people. But he did talk today about France and the relationship with the French. Of course, they're very, very good people, the French. You know, back in the day before they ran away from wars, they ran to them and helped us fight the British. Of course, they fought the British with us.
Our two nations are forever joined together by the spirit of revolution and the fight for freedom. France is America's first and oldest ally. A lot of people don't know that.
Well, now you know. A lot of people don't know that. Do you guys know that? I didn't know that either, but I was reading it. It was on the paper, so it's got to be true. I did not know that you guys are our closest ally. I love when he finds out stuff in the middle of a speech. Like, he didn't know that, but he found it out, so he likes it. But it can't, you can't veer too far away, no matter how much you want to, from the Russia thing. It sucks you back in. Just... Took Q&A today, and of course, people had to go out and ask questions about Don Jr.
I have a son who's a great young man. He's a fine person. He took a meeting with a lawyer from Russia. It lasted for a very short period, and nothing came of the meeting.
Nothing came of the meeting. Zero, zilch, nada. Nothing came from that meeting. Did they offer him something? Well, that was the whole thing, right? Like, hey, we're going to offer you this stuff. Did you check it out? We got stuff for you. And there was really nothing. It was a lost leader. They just wanted to get a meeting, so they said what they said. Nothing came from it. Opposition research.
I've had many people call up, oh, gee, we have information on this factor or this person or, frankly, Hillary. That's very standard in politics. Politics is not the nicest business in the world, but it's very standard.
It is very standard. You don't think that Hillary's people were digging for everything they possibly could? You don't think they were doing backflips at night when they found out Billy Bush had that thing? You don't think they didn't, you know, freak out with excitement? Of course they were looking for stuff. That's what you do. That's absolutely what you do. I don't like it. I can't wait to find out what they're going to find out about Kid Rock, right? Do you guys know he smokes weed and drinks beer? Yeah? Awesome. He's probably going to be like, hey, kid, is there any way I could wear a wife beater everywhere I go? Chad, you can't say wife beater. It's the tank top. No, that's what they call it. All right, kids? That's it? All right? I'm giving you guys a little of the info. That's what the kids call it nowadays. It's what they've always called it. But it's this is it. It's ugly. It's nasty. But there's no there there. And no matter how much you want there to be there there, there is no there there. Your feelings don't override facts. No matter how much you want 1 + 1 to be 3, because you feel it's better, it's still just 2. It's still just 2. And you may want it to, oh God, I want it so bad to be 3. No, still 2. But no, I want it to be. You can want all day, but it's not going to change anything. And all it does is it drags us on. And I'm sick of talking about Russia. I'm sick and tired of talking about Russia. You know what I want to talk about Russia? Next year when they host the World Cup that they bought. That's when I want to talk about Russia. Do I want to talk about any of the other of this stuff going on? No. And somebody said, well, Chad, you'll buy into anything that this president says. No, wrong. That's not me. I'm not that host. There's plenty of them out there. You know what, though? If you show me cold, hard facts, then let's talk. If you show me cold, hard facts, if you come and you show me facts and you come with some sort of indictment of somebody, and then there we look and we go, well, then we can start to have that discussion. But hope isn't getting you there, people, right? Go out tonight and try to fill your car up with hope and see how far you can drive it. But no buts. No, zero buts when it comes to this stuff. Zero, zilch, nada. The Emmys were announced today. Speaking of stuff that we actually do like, and it's funny because when I look at this, I always like to look at these things and go, how many of these things have I actually watched? And there was some big announcements. One of the big announcements was the fact that there's actually a network show that has been nominated for Best Drama. That's one of the big announcements.
Better Call Saul, The Crown, The Handmaid's Tale, House of Cards, Stranger Things, This Is Us, and Westworld.
So, This Is Us is the first one since 2011, I think, The Good Wife, to be nominated for Best Drama. That's how things have changed. Netflix, Amazon, they're no longer just facilitators of other people's programs. They're now programming amazing content. And that's why so many people are gravitating to them. And one of the big reasons is, and this is where networks should pay attention. One of the big reasons is because they're allowing the talent to be the talent. They're saying, hey, here's X amount of dollars. Go do the program you want to do. We're going to stay away from it and allow you to be creative. And we're not going to make you do 23 episodes or 24 episodes. We're going to allow you to do 8 or 10. And if they were smart, they would start looking at it in a much different way. But that's why they're getting their asses hounded to it. Stranger Things, 19 nominations. That is the only thing I have seen on any of these Netflix, Hulu, or Amazon Prime that I've actually watched from start to finish. I think I liked it mostly because of the nostalgia. I thought the show was good. I didn't think it was great. But the nostalgia of it all, the Dungeons and Dragons, I was those kind of kids. I didn't play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. My friends did. But I rode my bike. The dress, the music, the whole nine yards. I think that's one of the big reasons. For me, it was a pull. But it got 19 nominations.
This is Hawkins. I don't know the worst thing that's ever happened here in the 4 years I've been working here. It was when an owl attacked Eleanor Gillespie's head because it thought that her hair was a nest.
A one.
19 nominations. That's a lot. Then you go to the comedy world, and here are some of the things that were nominated for comedy, and I have to be honest, I think I've seen one of them in maybe four episodes total.
Atlanta.
Didn't see.
Blackish. Nope. Masters of None.
Nope.
Modern Family. Silicon Valley.
One episode.
Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Zero episodes.
And Veep.
One episode. Yeah. I'm sure they're all fun. But and there's a perfect example of something. Was it the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt? It was a show that was on, even I think it was on one of the regular like cable stations, like it was on TBS or TNT. It went away and then it was revised, brought in by I think Hulu or whatever, and boom, there it is. That is it, and it changed tremendously. People that said, "Hey, look, when I watched it over here, it was good. Now I feel it's great." I've not seen it. But that's the beauty of what's going on now. There's more and more opportunity at content and more opportunity for people to develop stuff that is cutting edge and fresh without the hands of networks inside of everything. Because networks come at it from a – and this is the advantage they have. If you're Amazon Prime, if you're Hulu – even though they have ads, but if you're Netflix, your money is primarily made where? It's all subscription. So you don't have to worry about pissing off advertisers, right? Where the networks have a little bit more, of an issue with that. That's why they bring in all of these, they overthink things, they overanalyze things, and they're always worried about something. They come up from a how do we get this so people can, we can sell this to advertisers, where it's the exact opposite. That's why when you watch these shows, the freedom they have is amazing. Maybe if they started allowing, ABC, NBC, CBS, and whatnot to have that kind of freedom, and to maybe start looking at, instead of having 24 episodes, why don't we have 10, and giving these people opportunities to be more creative, you could get some winners. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, chat at chadbensonshow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423. So, your car, you love it. I love your car. Love my car, too. My car? Betty, she's taken care of because I got Car Shield. What's Car Shield? Come on, you've been listening to the show. It's extended vehicle service protection that's better than anything else out there. Nothing ruins a trip like your car falling apart and then saying, hey, kids, we're not going anywhere because this is going to cost me a lot of money. I need to get it fixed. So wah, wah. With Car Shield, you don't have to worry about that. You get 24/7 roadside assistance. You get a rental car while your car's in the shop, and they take care of everything directly. You choose the shop. They make sure the mechanic gets paid. You can take it wherever you want to take it. The cost of repairing a car nowadays is tremendous. $500 for a water pump. You look over there, next thing you know, hey, you know what? I love my car, but my engine's running. Uh-oh, we need a new transmission. What's that going to cost? $2,000. Oh. Then you're at that point. What do I want to do? I want to keep my car because I don't want a payment. But no, be smart. Get extended vehicle service protection. That $2,000, that'd be covered with Car Shield. Oh, yeah, it would. How'd that make you feel? $5,000 for an engine? Mm. And let's not forget all of the gadgets, the wigs-wats, and everything else with the GPS. Those sensors alone could cost you $1,000. Car Shield takes care of that for you. Be smart. Get Car Shield like I did. Get yourself protection. Save yourself thousands in potential car repairs. Get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection before it's too late. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit carshield.com and use code Benson to save 10%. That's carshield.com. Code Benson saves you 10%. A deductible may apply. Wrap it up straight ahead, and we'll find out what we learned today on the Chad Benson Show.
Get oily, greasy takeout when you can have fresh Chad 24/7. Free of charge at ChadBensonShow.com. Click on Chad's podcast and enjoy freshly canned Chad. Catch the Chad Benson Show on iTunes, too, and nibble to your heart's content.
When I count the tree, I want this entire arena to scream, F*** the Mayweathers! One, two, three, the Mayweathers. He won't do nothing. And while we're at it, Showtime too, you little weasel.
One, two, three. You're like, what? Wait, I'm not great at math and counting. I do know that a tree is not after two. I'm aware of that. That is Conor McGregor. But what a showman, right? Like, does his thing and sells this fight. And I'm excited about it. I'm going to watch it. I don't get up for many of these kind of things. I am kind of like, meh. But this is one of those things that I will definitely pay attention to. And there is another one going on currently right now at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So I'm sure we'll have more sound for that. But he is selling the hell out of it. And Conor, as he does it, you could see Floyd just behind his eyes. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. Be interesting for sure. A man who thought it was just a simple selfie that a monkey took is finding out that it's more than just that, as he's been sued. His name is David Slater. He's a British photographer at the center of a weird court battle as an animal rights group has taken him to court because they feel the monkey owns the rights to his likeness. And because of that, he should be, I guess, compensated. It looks like that's eventually going to get out of court and he will win. But did he really? You see, he's broke. He has broke. He said this silly little picture has ruined his life and left him completely broke. The 52-year-old man from South Wales who specialized in wildlife and conservation photography, he was doing this to go out there and to take pictures of endangered animals like this monkey, and in doing so, this has left him broke. I hope you guys are happy about this, you people who are insane when it comes to animals. I love animals too. Some of them are amazing to touch. Others are wonderful to chew. But get over yourself and stop it. Please. Stop it. Just stop it. This poor guy. This poor guy here, this poor guy. He said, everything I tried to do and highlight the plight of this monkey has backfired in my private life, and I've had my life ruined. That is just crazy. So sad. It's what happens when you help people. That's why I don't help. What did we learn today on the Chad Benson Show besides the fact that I don't help, which is a lie? Healthcare is still a nightmare, and it's a mess, and it's going to take a while to fix, and it may not be the fix that anybody likes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Emmy Awards are the Emmy Awards, but now regular television is kind of being left behind in the dust. That it's good to take a mental health day. Absolutely. Very good to take a mental health day. And that Kid Rock may be running for Senate. And if he does, I do believe Kid Rock may get my vote, sir. At Chad Benson Show Twitter. Chad Benson Show is your Facebook. Go there, like it. For the boys, my name is Chad Benson. As always, I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.